readers. I'm Alex.
I'm Kelly.
And this is the LitJoy Podcast.
Hello, readers. This episode is brought to you by Brandon Mull and the LitJoy Collection featuring the beloved Fable Haven series.
One of the things I love about this series is not only are we releasing them one at a time so that more people can afford to collect them, but we also are doing this beautiful debossed leatherette feature on the covers. So it feels like your own magical field guide that you're carrying with you. So each one has a different leatherette cover with different designs on it. It's going to be so beautiful.
I love that.
And they're priced at $39.99 a piece.
And each book in the series is going to be available for purchase, as Alex mentioned, separately throughout the months. And it's going to be going all through 2024. We'll be dropping these books, starting with book one, which is Fable Haven. And that is dropping on March 13th to our private VIP group, our Lunacorn membership. And then on March 14th, it opens up to the general public.
Perfect. And if you want to learn more about these, be notified, or just shop, you can go to litjoycrate.com/fablehaven. That's /FABLEHAVEN. And today, we're discussing, we're continuing our book club series.
Yes, we are.
Where we are talking about starting a book club. Mm-hmm. The line that Kelly has here: starting a book club is easy. Keeping it running is hard.
It's profound.
Motto.
Yeah. So we just filmed part one, which is like my five tips on starting a book club, just giving you some of the logistics, some things to think about. And this is part two, where I try to condense my top five tips for keeping one running.
I love it.
I love it.
And if you folks love this, we will continue with tips and ideas. We were just talking about it might be fun to take the books that we're reading for Kelly's book club and do a whole episode kind of going through what ones we thought were great for discussion, et cetera. So we're happy to keep talking about book clubs so long as you are interested.
All right. Well, let's talk about it.
All right.
Okay.
Tell me, Kelly. Tip one.
We briefly did talk about this as well in the tips on getting one started, but the first tip I have for keeping it running is getting your members involved. So yes. I mentioned this in the first part where I said I learned trying to do it all myself to not create a burden for others. I actually dropped the attendance because I wasn't allowing other people to be involved and for them to show up in the way that they feel like they're participating.
Right.
So I created several different roles, you know, moderator, where they moderate the book, the discussion, any questions they want to have, activities. And then we have someone who hosts their home or space. It doesn't have to be a home. And that's where we meet for that month. And then we also always have like food signups where people can sign up to bring different foods and desserts and drinks, et cetera. And by doing that, it allowed people to know, like, I need to show up because I'm in charge of ..
People feel like they don't want to drop the ball on what they're involved in. And it's so interesting because I find that a lot of readers are introverted and they are just waiting for something to be canceled so they don't have to go. They're yes. And I find that the older we get, the more introverted we both become as well. Like we're probably both ambivert. I'm a little bit more extroverted and you're a little bit more introverted. But I find that we kind of lean hard into that the older we get. And what's nice about book club is when you have a responsibility to it, it kind of just, it's like, it gets you out the door.
Yep.
And then when you get there, you're like, oh, I remember why
I love
reading and I love book club and I love connecting with these people. But it's just that getting them out the door that's a little bit tricky. So,
and that is probably the number one thing I hear at book club every month is whether someone showed or they didn't show. I get a text or they tell me in person, I almost didn't come or I didn't come because there's always something that's going to pull you back. Well, my kid was having a hard time or they're sick. Well, and these are all valid reasons, P.S.
Yeah.
Or I was just worried about leaving my family home for the night. Like there's so much guilt I felt like specifically around women leaving their homes for one night.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother story, actually. But giving them that opportunity to come as well as signing up for something just pushes them out the door. But a lot of times I found that members in our book club will talk themselves out of going easy because it feels selfish.
Yeah.
To do something just for them, including just reading a book, which is so wonderful.
And one night a month.
And it's one night a month.
But it's hard. There's so much pressure there to show up and to, there's pressure to categorize the importance of all of your relationships and then to always prioritize the number one relationship or the number one and two, which is usually a spouse and kids.
Yeah.
And actually the number one relationship you should have is the one with yourself. And so what's so wonderful about a book club is that it's an opportunity to prioritize self and to read the book for yourself and to talk about the book with people who fill you up.
Absolutely.
And so we forget that we should be our number one relationship. And that's the thing that I love about getting people involved is if you're in charge of bringing the dessert or you're in charge of showing up and talking about the book or you naturally already prioritize your relationships with others. So you're like, oh, I don't want to let them down. And then you get there and you're reminded like, I love the book and I actually love talking about this. And this was a good night for me.
Absolutely. And how many times have you, let's say, finished up work? Because we work full time running LitJoy and it's like 5 o'clock and I'm trying to hurry and figure out dinner for my family and I've got to run out the door for book club. It happens to me too.
Or it's almost like, every month.
Because we start at like 6:30 and you're just tired. Like you want to like let down from the day and just chill. And sometimes I forget that book club can be that too. And it just feels like one more thing. And every single time, and I'm probably biased, but every time I get to book club, I'm like, oh, I'm so relaxed here. I love being with these women. This is so fun. Even if I'm just so quiet in the corner because I'm exhausted, I'm so filled up that I'm so grateful I came. Like it's just easy to talk yourself out of stuff. And so having members have some sort of involvement, I feel like gives them a little more purpose and responsibility, accountability, all those things to just give that little extra push out the door, especially if you know someone who tends to put a lot of people before themselves. Many members I've had stop coming because they said it was too burdensome on their family.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very fascinating because, again, I'm like once a month for one evening.
Yeah.
When you think about it, almost that's 12 evenings in a year. Like that's.
This is my personal opinion. So I'm like, and I hesitate to like cast stones, like to cast judgment.
We don't know all the circumstances.
We really don't know the circumstances. But I just go back to that. Like, if it's not book club, what is the thing? And like, do a thing for you. One night a month is minimum.
Yeah.
Like if you find that you are not able to do even one night a month for a thing for yourself, I think that that is telling. There's probably some introspection that can happen there. And I say that because of just the life circumstances that you and I have had and what we've witnessed. And we work, book club is 30 women. LitJoy is like 39 women. We just spend so much time with this, you know, with women in this culture that I'm like, I just want to extend permission to be like, if you cannot get away one night a month, maybe ask like why that's not, and that's not a possibility for you and why you feel so strongly that it's not. Because I don't think that book club has to be the thing that lights you up and gets you away from home for one night.
Totally.
But it could be. It's an option. And if it's not the thing you choose, pick something else for you at least once a month.
There's also just so much good that comes with being around like-minded, and specifically women, I find, where women can talk to other women.
Yeah.
We'll talk again more about this as we go, but there's been so much healing in our book club, having other women have that opportunity to be in that community. And to have that, I'm going to quote, air quote, excuse to get out and be involved in something. So it's definitely a mind shift I noticed for a lot of women where they looked at it as a guilt trip. They were guilting themselves that they're like, I can't go. It's taking away from this. I'm already gone one other night in the week. And they're all valid. And it's something you want to discuss if you are in a partnership or whatever. But it was interesting when you reflect back on it. When I've sat and talked with them one-on-one. And there's usually things going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where I'm just like, this is supposed to be a safe place. This is somewhere where I want you to enjoy coming.
Yeah.
If it is not meeting those needs, then don't. And it's not because you're not welcome. I don't want this to be a stress. I don't want this to cause rifts in relationships. Like that is not what it should be doing.
Yeah.
You know, so I've had those discussions off and on with different women and some women stop coming and sometimes they come back and some women double down, like, you know.
Like, no, this is really important kind of a thing.
And again, my book club is all women, but I know there are co-ed ones. Yeah. There's these really incredible ones that some men I know run. Yes. Sometimes it's like a business one. Sometimes it's just, let's read fantasy.
There's actually kind of this emerging phenomenon where men are finding groups of men who can challenge them to be more spiritual and authentic, yeah. to be more of a healthy masculinity. And I find that a lot of them orient around book clubs. Like they create book clubs with it, which is just awesome. And I'm like, that's to me is like a very cool thing to witness mm-hmm. in my adult life. For me personally, it was important enough for me to prioritize book club that in my divorce, when we did our divorce schedule, I made sure that my ex-husband always had kids on Tuesday night. Like I have the Wednesday, Thursday. Mm-hmm. So he's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday kind of schedule. And I literally just, it was that important to me to prioritize it. And I find that even if I can't make it to book club, it's usually because something else that is like expansive for me is happening at that time.
Totally.
It hasn't always been easy for me to prioritize myself. Mm-hmm. And I empathize with that. And Absolutely. So I think giving them an excuse to get involved can also be like a really great excuse for them to get out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I've seen all the same things and I've been through the whole gamut of emotions as well. You know, for a while there, I actually felt guilty. Like I was pulling women away from their families, from their church callings, like, cause I was getting some feedback, you know, like that I was contradicting those things almost. Cause let's say I scheduled my book club on a night where it also fell on a night where there's lots of church activities. They made it me feel like I was making them choose. Right. And I'm like, no, I didn't even know, right, that was a thing. Yeah. And also, like, that's your choice. But for consistency's sake, we have to keep it on these nights.
That's a really interesting subculture phenomenon. Yeah. Like, I find that most people who listen to this podcast probably won't have that
experience.
Church experience. But there will be things that get in the way. But it's just such it's hard to not talk about it because it's our experience.
Yeah. And there's always, always going to be a conflict with somebody. Like, as long as if like you're the book club president, which I talked about in the first one, mm-hmm. First part is you have to just, if you're the one running the show basically and keeping it going and you're the one organizing it, like do what works for you and, you know, and as much as possible with who you invite and you just got to stick to it.
Yeah.
Right. It'll work itself out. You know, what's funny is I had so many people that started to attend my book club in my local neighborhood in church that they actually moved the night of the church activity because I was like, I'm not moving mine.
Awesome.
They actually moved theirs because so many were like, well, we got book club.
They're like, that's more fun.
And I was like, yeah, check out the power.
And you're like, I have power.
No, it was... yeah,
Kelly is not power hungry.
But it was interesting. It'll work itself out is kind of what I'm saying there. Yeah. So getting members involved, number one tip for sure, creating some different opportunities for bringing food or signing up for jobs. And I mentioned you can use Evite or SignUp Genius. Those are the two online platforms I use.
Mm-hmm. Both to invite and also for sign up.
Correct.
So like food sign up, host sign up. Mm-hmm. So what Kelly will do is at the end of the year, after we've picked all the book club books, and we'll pick them all in November with that voting process. In December, she will open up signups to be a host or a moderator. Mm-hmm. And that opens up on SignUp Genius, I mm-hmm. think is what you use for that. And then each month when they get the invitation, there is the option to sign up for food. And that's on Evite.
Correct.
So I'm like, here's just tips and tricks, but like obviously figure out what works for you.
Yeah.
In the organization of it.
I did start switching a lot of my communication to that book club app.
Yeah.
I think it's literally just called book club because you can put your whole year's worth in there. So if you don't have your physical bookmark on you, you can always look it up because I have every year, all month long, people are texting me, what's the book this month? Like, I can't remember. I need to go buy it or I want to download it. And so now the app has it.
Nice.
And that's really great information. And they can rate on the app. So we get a cumulative score, like star rating. On every book after we read it, and that people can just see, and it's always there on the app.
Yep.
And that's really wonderful. The Evite is just a simple way to send out the message and to see who's all coming and then sign up for food. SignUp Genius we use once a year to sign up for all the spots that I, you know, put together for all the books.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds complicated, but
it's fun.
It's just how I like to organize.
I was like, You literally, like, your happy place is, like, organized fun.
It is organized fun. Yeah. I was like, this is my jam. This is my sweet spot.
And, like, my happy place is, like, taking that organized fun and, like, telling everybody how awesome it is. Like, this is fucking awesome.
Y'all should know about genius. This.
And then someone comes in and tries to, like, mess a book club. I was like, nobody asked. I will defend this for Kelly. I also
appreciate that.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, I will go to war for this. Okay, number two.
Number two.
Keep in mind, not all members want to be involved in the same manner.
I love that voice. No, I did. It was so
it's the name.
Polite. No one's forced to do any job, like I mentioned, and everyone always has something to offer, and everyone gets to pick and choose how they want to be involved and into what level. So we've already talked about the different positions. Another thing you can think about is, these are other ideas for involvement. Have someone be in charge of sending out the invitations. Well, currently, or for a long time, that was just me. And then I got wise and was like, why am I doing this? Because whoever's moderating the book, I always had to coordinate with them and see what their message was, put it together in the Evite. What I do now, because I used to always send out the invitation, is I actually just do a calendar invite on my Google Calendar. Sign it to whoever signed up to moderate. And then all the information is in the notes. So they can just sign in to our Delicious Reads Evite account, send everything. It's all easy peasy. So that way it's one less thing that I have to do. And it gives back that responsibility to whoever's hosting that book or moderating that book.
Nice.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
So if a home becomes unavailable the last second, another thing you can do is have people who are just volunteers. For
like backups
for homes. Like, I know yours has been that many times.
Yeah.
You're all, that's me.
Well, and also I just like, I am a person who naturally really loves to invite people to my house.
Mm-hmm.
I think that hosting is just something that I enjoy. And not everybody has to enjoy the same thing, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
But my home often becomes a backup if things fall through because it's something I like. And so yeah. I'm happy to do it.
You have a beautiful home and it's large enough for us and it works out wonderfully and we appreciate it.
Thanks.
Another thing people can do to be involved is, as we mentioned, you could have somebody who often reaches out to authors possibly or mm-hmm. other local people for resources if it makes sense for your book club to have them join or come or participate in some way. You can have people. Well, okay. So the other thing I think is really fun to do is once you get to know your members and their talents and the things they enjoy is I try to utilize them in the book club as much as possible.
Yes.
We don't do this at all anymore, but years ago, what we used to do for our Christmas activity, Christmas book club, is we'd have like a mini market because so many of the women who came were creating things.
Cute.
And we would just set up these teeny tiny little table booths or in my house and people could go shop because I was like, y'all are incredible and talented and imaginative, and you're all making things. Like some people had Etsy shops, some people just did it for fun on the side, or some people were like, I just love making jam, but I don't sell it. And so we'd set up these little like Christmas market booths and you could shop for Christmas gifts from our members' stuff.
That's really cute.
Because, you know, and a lot of them have since made companies from them.
Mormon women are so industrious.
I was like, that's fascinating.
They just are so good at like making stuff. Like, that's so fascinating.
They just have so much untapped potential sometimes, and
yeah,
so much potential to you just need a little push
up the door. That's a good idea. That's a fun idea for the to have fun. A like market.
Yeah, and now we just give a ton of stuff away from Litjoy every November.
Every November, we're like, here's all the weird stuff that we found in the back corner of the warehouse, and everyone's like, this is amazing.
It's like leftovers. They're not. Yeah. There's nothing usually wrong. And they were just like, oh, we have excess over here, and we thought you'd like this, and
or like something sold out, but then like two customer service ones were found, and we're all, well, it doesn't make sense to list these for everyone in the world, and so we kind of just like are like, welcome to the Litjoy offering.
Great. Another example is we have a really talented artist in our book club, and she runs an Etsy site, and she does these beautiful like peg dolls and portraits, and she paints our book club stack every year of all 12 books that we read that year.
So it's a print she makes her own, but she illustrates all 12 books from the year as a gift at the end of the year. Her name's Cami, and we'll put a link to her store.
Cami Hall Studios, I think. And I love it. It's such a great way to like commemorate the year's worth of books in a beautiful print. And I pay for it, and just it's like a gift between me and Cami. She does it pretty much at cost, you know.
Yes.
And we give that out every year. And I just frame mine every year in my library or in my office.
Yeah. And then switch it out.
And then I just
have
collect
my
them.
Little like scrapbook. Like I have collect all of mine too.
So I just get really creative. We have another gal who's a professional violinist.
Yes.
And there was a book that we read that was all about music.
Echo.
Yes, it was Echo. Mm-hmm. And I asked if anyone knew anyone who could play. And a friend said, my friend is a professional violinist. I'll ask if she can come. And she came and she was beautifully dressed, just like she was at the symphony, and she was playing at the top of the stairs for the first like 2 hours of book club. It was amazing. And then I was like, wait, she started playing all the music that was literally in the book.
Yes. So she read the book in preparation.
Yes, which we didn't ask for. We're like, just play whatever you got. And I later, and she was like, I dug this so much. I read the book. I wrote down all the music.
Yes.
Was dissecting it. I'm all, you seem like a fit. Would you like
we're
to
like,
come?
Join us to book club. I know. She's a fun member. I literally, as you said that, I was like, we should do like a Bridgerton book club and like have everyone read like books 1 through 5 or whatever, like but read however many they want and have her come and play all of the modern hits. I was like, there's an idea that might be a bad or a good one, but just sit with it.
I love this.
I know.
So it's really just getting creative with your members and how
what are they good at? Where's their genius?
We have some members who love to, like their love language is like baking or cooking.
Yes.
And I know sometimes that I'm like, I put certain things on the menu because I'm like, they're going to sign up for that.
Yes.
Because they want to share that love with us.
Yes. There's actually one book club member who, she is so busy with her business now that she runs her restaurant. And so she doesn't come as much, but our friend, she now owns Block Restaurant, Erica.
Yeah.
And it's a restaurant in Provo. And she started coming to book club and just every time she came, we were like, her baking is incredible. She's an incredible chef. And she would make these amazing desserts to share. And it was just like, we were celebrating the book, but we were also celebrating the cake.
The cake, yeah. Yeah.
And so that was really fun.
Yeah. I don't know. I just love finding those things and helping others shine in that way.
Yeah.
And it feels a little bit subtle, but then we talk about it every time, you know, like, oh, did you bring that? That one thing that you make that's so good. Oh, yes. You know, like people start to like formulate their favorites around, you know, are you playing? And, oh, can I buy that thing off you? I don't know. That's part of the community feel for me.
For sure.
And so those are just some ideas and suggestions for how to get them involved in other unconventional ways.
I love it.
Let's move on.
Okay. Tip number 3. Remember, book club isn't just about the books. What do you mean by that, Kelly?
Well, clearly food is involved. Yeah. So
is this where I finally get to talk about food? I'm so excited.
Food is for me personally, I feel like food is a huge part of a book club. Whether that's just drinks, cocktail, wine, food. I'm like, as long as you're still talking about the book, I'm like, approved all the things.
Approved. And as a caveat, I would say both you and I have a strong affinity for food. We're very much foodies. And I think that food is, I think we're just both about experience.
I would agree.
And food is such a intense experience for us both. And so to integrate it in with the book, you have done that in a very creative way at LitJoy, or sorry, at Delicious Reads.
All the same. Yeah.
Whatever. Also, LitJoy, we eat a lot of really good food.
We do. I just feel like, and if you can hit as many senses as possible to enhance an experience, I do this a lot where we, at LitJoy, at least we've created a crate and I'm all, okay, Ken, is there something to smell? Is there something to taste? Is there something tactile? Like they're going to enjoy holding, you know, like I try to like hit as many senses as possible because that way you're just completely in the world.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm like, food is important. And so depending on the book, again, it can really lend to certain really fun, big over the top menus.
Yes.
And sometimes it's just a simple fare of, you know, whatever we can grab at Costco or whatever.
Right. It's not necessarily that the meals are over the top. It's that they're just like immersive with the book.
Yeah.
So for example, we've had some book clubs where it's like a middle grade and there's like a cafeteria scene and everybody brings stuff to make like cold cut sandwiches. Right.
Yes.
So it's like a sandwich bar. So it's not like super fancy, but it is like fun because it's the book.
Yeah.
There have been times where we've done like a full French dinner, like beef bourguignon from when we did like the Julia Child book.
Yes.
And it's like very fancy and everybody brings more fancy fare.
Mm-hmm.
We've done like tea party sandwiches.
When we did Leigh Bardugo's books, when Shadow and Bone first dropped, we did all of her books and we did a lot of Russian fare.
Yes.
Russian food, which is interesting.
you're like, which was interesting.
It was interesting. We did a local author. We did like a witchy book. And there was very specific types of food mentioned in it. And it was like lavender star-shaped cookies. And I'm all, we're going to do this. You know, like I was trying really hard to bring everything in the book out. We've talked about the Night Circus in other podcasts. The Night Circus by Erin Morgenstern is so visual. You can literally smell the food in this book. It's so well described. So we went way over the top. We made all the food. And it just, it gets everyone so excited. Everyone's taking pictures and everyone wants to create something new. And I just saw the creativity expand when we added the food element.
So usually what I do at my house, if I have a book club and the food is not like the most obvious, which by the way, usually kind of like the host and the moderator together kind of come up with the menu. But if it's not clear what food really you can derive from the book, usually what I do is I try and name the food creative things. That's just like a personal thing. So when I did like, when I did Project Hail Mary, I'm like, the food in the book is literally like space slush. Like you did drink space slush from a tube. It's not great. But I did do like constellation cookies or like out of this world. Like, you know, like I would be like, aliens are real, like root vegetable dish, you know, like something where I just like kind of do like onomatopoeia or like use different literary like tools to create interesting words.
Like we've done colored themed dinners where it's like all the food has to be a certain color. We've done themed for like, let's say it's a gothic Halloween one. It's going to be like a bubbly witch's brew drink, you know, everything's going to have a little bit of a macabre fun vibe. We've definitely just, whatever the theme of the book is, we pull it out and we make
it. We did like an oatmeal bar once where it was like sweet and savory oatmeal toppings.
Oh, that's right. We also did like a full table charcuterie.
Oh, for the Greek.
For the Greek.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when we read Circe.
Circe, it was like full table charcuterie. I think we put butcher paper down.
Yes. It was like plenty of food for all of us because it was like the entire table. And when we've done certain like Jane Austen books, that's when we pull out the tea party.
Yeah.
And so anything you do to immerse, I just think it just adds another layer of like I lived in that book.
For sure. And then we did like a really good Christmas feast when we did a Charles Dickens book. Yeah. It was like, that was fun.
So that's why I'm like, it's not just about the books. I feel like that's definitely where you want to start. But if it's only just ever about the books, it starts to feel like work or feel like school.
Yeah. And those meals create opportunities to chat. Not just about the book, but to catch up with people and build relationships. And I know how important community is to you. And I think that so many of those relationships are not formed in book club discussion, but in those conversations as people are there eating.
Yeah. That's the perfect segue because that's the other half of this book club is not just about the books. The food is a huge enhancement. It creates the opportunity to sit down and have a meal and talk with somebody. But just in general, I feel like being able to socialize before the book club is just as important.
Yep.
I learned quickly to not have like a hard deadline of starting right at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock, 6:30, whatever it is. I'm all, first 30 minutes are gathering. It's gathering time.
Yeah.
Everybody comes somewhere in that first 30 minutes. The next hour to hour and a half is just chatting, eating, sitting down, you know, kind of having that fluidity because otherwise, what's the point?
Yep.
It's kind of how I feel because again, if you don't have that time to just sit and hang out and talk with people and get to know people and talk with your friends.
It's not really a club.
And it's not really a club. And it's just talking about the book and heading home, which again, is fun, but starts to feel a little bit more like I'm at school.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I mentioned in my notes here that I said that is probably my favorite part of the book club is that first hour because that's where I've seen so much magic happen.
Yeah.
So many beautiful moments have come allowing women to, and again, it's my book club, it's all women, but allowing the women in our group to get to know each other. Yeah. There's always new members or members who have never sat by each other before. I've never really gotten to know you well, you know, whatever that is. And some of the things that I've personally heard over the 17, 18 years of running are just thank you for running this because it's the only thing I have to look forward to in the month. For again, whatever reason is going on in their lives, it's just like the one thing that seems to be something to look forward to.
Yeah.
It has created readers. I've started inviting people because I kept hearing about this cool book party. And they're like, I don't read, but it sounds like your book club's a great opportunity for me to like give it a chance.
Mm-hmm.
We have one member who she heard we were reading this Twilight book, this year, obviously years ago. And she's like, I've heard about this book. I want to check it out. And she literally never read. And she read that one and has been an avid member since. And, you know, she's been coming for 10 plus years. We have so many friendships that have formed through the book club, writing groups that have formed, people who have started writing groups who've been published since. And we, let's see what else. We've just got tons of new people who have moved into town, literally. And they're like, I know nobody. And, you know, if I run into one of, you know, those women, I'm like, yeah, come check it out. Meet some friends, meet some people. And that's also made some really incredible, beautiful moments where they either had a hard time being around women or being in a group setting for whatever reason. And again, it's just provided that platform for them to feel safe and to come. And I think it's just a great way to meet new people, to be creative, to expand your horizon. So we'll get into more of that. But these are just some of my, you know, my experiences in the book club. I'm sure there's many more. Have you noticed anything that I didn't hit? But
we started a company.
I mean, there's that.
So I was like, it was a complete pivotal, like it was a before and after moment in my life. Like it was like the answer to questions I had been asking myself for 5 years, 5, 6, 7 years. Actually, since I graduated college, I was like, now what? Because I had like a different opportunities, but book club created an opportunity for connection and just like finding more of a purpose. And so I think that it's books. That's part of why we did a company around books. You know, we could have met at book club and did a company around selling swimsuits. But that's just
maybe,
you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not saying we're passionate about swimsuits. We're really not. But it's just like it created, when you said like-minded, and I don't know if it's this or the last episode, you're like, it's a great way to get like-minded people together. And it's not necessarily that it's people who think just like you.
Yeah.
It's people that you know you have had the same experience in reading a book with them. Like together, you did the same thing. And then you get to come together and talk about how it was the same or different.
Yeah.
And I came to a book club because I love to read. And that's really been the thing that we have to lean into when things are hard at Litjoy, is that we both have this joint passion for community and reading. And so I'm like, I don't know. It's like I can't endorse book clubs enough. So
the other beautiful thing as you were talking that stood out is I think across the board, it is enhanced. And this is just for anyone who's a reader, but it enhances your world perspective. It opens your narrowness.
Worldview.
I'm like, your it can be your worldview, your empathy.
Yeah.
You can learn about different experiences and types of people and cultures, like even if it's fantasy. It's just, it opens that up to help you think about it. Yeah. There's so many opportunities where we had deep thoughts about something we'd never thought about before because we read a book about it.
Yeah.
And got to have a full discussion around it and hear other people's opinions. I'm like, what a great gift.
Yeah.
To have that opportunity. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, I love it.
I do too. It was a beautiful part of our lives to come together.
Yeah.
Okay, number 4.
Let's do it.
Allow change and flexibility in your book club.
Yes. So, just as all of us have different times and seasons in our lives, so does your book club. And I find that you need to have structure. You need to have some, you know, boundaries with your book club so there's consistency, but you need to not hold on the reins too hard. The harder you hold on, you're just going to, I think, find a smaller group of people that want to come. And that just depends on what kind of book club you want to run. I wanted mine to feel much more open, community-based, so I don't hold on as tight. And what I mean by that is I've had to let some things go that I really enjoyed, but it just wasn't serving us anymore. For example, we used to do the huge over-the-top book parties, like I mentioned. I mean, it was like sometimes 3 days of setting up for these book clubs.
That's a lot.
Especially because, you know, my home, when it was always there and I didn't have kids, they just kind of come and go and set up. And it was hours of time creating food and decorations and activities. And while they're some of our most memorable, it's just not sustainable, right? And now we do that maybe twice a year. Which is great. I was like, perfect sweet spot. You know, a few times a year, you get a little over the top, but we're not like renting costumes anymore. Not usually.
Yeah.
But we were doing that like multiple times a year at one point where I'm like, how did we get here? Well, I love it. It just like, we kept trying to top it. It felt like the next month, top it. And it was stressing people out, including me. And While it was really fun to blog because that I could show the photos and show the whole experience to the world that way, and people are, you know, their minds are blown and it's incredible. I'm like, yes, but it's not always sustainable, because that's when I started seeing drop off again. Mm-hmm. And when I talked with the members, they were just like, when they finally felt comfortable to tell me, a lot of them were like, I just felt kind of pressured and like I couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, so opposite of what I wanted, right?
Yeah.
I thought everyone was loving the book party so much that I just kept it going. So it's good just kind of keep a pulse on it. I'm trying to think what else we've done.
And I'd say too that when we kind of transitioned from having huge parties into like more like
moderate parties.
Moderate parties, and also just more fitting for where the majority of the book club members were, and also what makes sense for the book. Like some just didn't lend to like this huge over the top thing, but the book still had this quality to a discussion. I would say that two things kind of happened. More people felt like, oh, I can manage this. Like book club is once again feels like this escape and this social thing. And then there were people who just left book club because they were only there for the party and not for the book.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And so that was an interesting kind of thing, because there were a couple of people who were just like, well, I'm here for the party. And I'm like, totally. Like if that is their jam, then they can go on doing parties. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with that if over the top is the thing you want. But I did find that I was appreciative of your flexibility in running book club, because at its core, it was always about coming back to the book and creating community around a book.
Yeah, that's why you just have to be flexible. Like another thing is, like I mentioned, I used to always have it in my house, right? I used to always host because I didn't want to burden anyone else with having to host.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, that's not serving me anymore. And people want the opportunity, you know, so we changed that. We used to have a couples book club every summer because, interestingly enough, a lot of the spouses of the members who were coming were literally jealous. They were like, this is the coolest. I want to come. Just because it was just so over the top, right? Yeah. Like, what an opportunity. It's like a mini Disneyland experience every month. And so we used to do a couples book club, and it was so fun. We'd always do something either outdoorsy or just really like a large, comfortable space, because it was like twice as many members. And we'd do more interactive type games. We did like a Nerf gun fight at one. I think that was for Ender's Game.
Fun.
And they were like shooting the aliens, you know. We did like Steve Jobs. I think we read Divergent for one. We've just read some interesting. And it was really interesting to see the differences in what stuck out to the men, what stuck out to the women, and to have that joint experience. But after about 5 years, I noticed it also wasn't working. We had more and more men stop coming because more and more people's families were growing. It became a challenge finding like sitters and, you know, time in a season. So we stopped doing that. We also used to every November do a whole book club retreat.
Where it was like a full overnighter.
We'd like literally go like an hour out of town. Everyone would come. It was like for a night and a half or something. But, we get just changed again, where it got to be where they used to be. Yes, I'm so excited for this overnighter. And then I noticed one of the last ones we did, like over half the members left and didn't want to spend the night.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, there's the note. Like, things are shifting.
Just a late night. We'll just do a late night.
We're getting older, you know, family stuff. There's just, yeah. And so I'm like, I don't want it to be a stress. And so we adjusted. Now we just have a really fun late night, like you mentioned. So we start at like 6, we go to like midnight. We announce all the books for the next year. We give away fun things. We just make it a really fun evening. Mm-hmm. We watch alien presentations. It was a memorable moment.
It's true. It's true. I have a few highlights in book club, the contributions I've been able to give to book club that I'm really proud of. And one of them is my alien presentation.
It's a good one. We'll talk about that one day. I know we will.
Like, it's funny. Like, I was like, was that one of, like, that's one of my favorite moments from book club. But the majority of my favorite moments from book club are actually not things that involve me usually. Like, for example, there's been a couple of people who've gotten into like passive aggressive, like arguments over book things in like the group discussion, where I'm just like, I love this so much. Where they're like, I don't like it. And they're like, well, like, explain yourself. Why don't you like that part of the book? And they're like, I just don't. And they're like, that's not a good enough reason. And I'm just like, this is so great.
Popcorn.
Like, it's true, because I love that. I love when people online get so worked up over books.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get to see that in person at book club because it means you care.
Yeah.
Like, you're invested in the story. So when you see people just like online having that, like, strong reaction, mm-hmm. positive, negative, or like just that like intense reaction to books, I'm always like, yeah, but you're reading. Like, yeah. So some of my favorite book club moments are around just kind of those conversations. And
yeah.
And I appreciate the flexibility you've had to keep people coming.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, they're good.
And that just as a really quick side note reminded me just to be respectful at your book clubs in regards to like,
fair.
There's going to always be like that one person who's against the grain, I find. Like,
for sure.
Sometimes there's books where we're like, we all just loved it, all of us. And then sometimes there's like that one person who's all, and I hated it. And it's like when it's happened in our book club where we kind of jump on them, but not on purpose. Like, what? Why? Why did you hate it? And then they're like, I don't want to be like, get the grill here. Like, I just didn't enjoy it. Like,
it's so true.
You got to be careful with just like, oh, okay, tell me more.
Yeah, I've like had book club members be like, flip me off.
In a loving way.
Yeah, I'm like good friends with them.
Yeah.
But me being like, I don't know. I thought that I didn't think it was very well edited. This particular book, I just thought that the writing was kind of sloppy and not well edited. And I thought that it was a little bit just like predictable and formulaic, and so I like shared my thoughts on this, and she was like, were you not entertained? And I was like, what is this, a freaking gladiator?
We quote that to this day.
Yeah. And then like she like flipped me off, and I was like, you'll be okay over there, little buddy.
Like, still good. So good. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, it was fantastic. I was like, one of my favorite memories of book club.
And because so, it was done in like love, but
she was pretty worked up.
She was a little bit like, because she really enjoyed it. But.
Yeah. But also like, I'm a good sport, and I feel like I don't need people to like the things I like. Mm-hmm. And I don't need people to hate the things I hate. It's just, I don't care. And so I'm like, but that's the fun thing about book club is I think you get to see some, when you see people how invested they are in the book.
Yes.
I'm like, yes. It's so good. It's just like, it's part of the joy of it.
Because if they didn't care, that would be such a boring discussion.
Yeah, like, why are we here?
Yeah. What's the point?
100%. Another one you have on here that I think is really good is we were really flexible during COVID. Mm. Never having missed a book club in like 16 years, and COVID rolls around. And it's like, okay, now what do we do?
Yeah.
And so everybody got on Zoom, and we made it happen. And we had like 25 people come to book club on Zoom for, I think, like 4, 5, 6, 7 months. It was like a solid period of time. And it wasn't the same.
It's not. Yeah.
But it was still great to keep that flame going.
We actually had a few members who normally don't come do it, right? Because they're a little more introverted. Or there's a lot of people who have some severe health issues. And obviously COVID really brought that out, where they just on the daily are afraid of getting ill because it could get their kids sick.
Yes.
You know, and so that's something I'm conscious of as well. And we tried to keep the Zoom going after we started meeting in person again, and it just didn't work.
We have a computer in the room to do it.
And I always try to be as inclusive as possible, but it just became a struggle. So
eventually it did. I would say
we did it for a while.
Like the solid year, we had some kind of a Zoom in, which was good.
Okay. Sweet. All right. We're down to our last little tip. One. Members come and members go. Don't take it personally. I mean, unless it is personal, but usually it's not. This was something that I clearly poured my entire heart and soul into when I started it for many years before Lit Joy happened. And then Lit Joy was like the thing I've been waiting for. As I mentioned, I'm like, book club is leading me to something. Yeah. I mentioned it off and on throughout the years. And Lit Joy was the thing. So Delicious Reads was the perfect thing to get us to meet. But it was before that, it was where I poured all of my love into.
I love you so much. I just like it.
And one of my hardest lessons was to not take it personally when I had members who stopped coming.
Yeah.
They kind of started just ghosting me, right? And, sometimes they just said, literally, it's not for me. Take me off your list.
Yeah.
And the first few times, obviously, I was like, but why? How can I fix it? Tell me.
Yeah.
And it was like, because I just wanted to know, like, oh, did I not make it a safe space? What can I change? How can I make it better? Like, I really just genuinely wanted a good feedback.
Yeah.
But then they're like, no, it's just ain't my jam.
Which is totally fine.
Yeah. And that was, I was like early 20s at the time.
Oh, no, I understand fully why you'd be like, but why? But it's also like, I would have that same response.
Yeah.
Where I would be like, okay, but like, how do I fix this? How do I convince you? Or like, it's the coolest thing to me. Why is it not the coolest thing to you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you kind of just, I think that comes with age, where you get to a point where you're like, they don't need to like it if it's not their jam. And the people who do love it, they will gravitate towards it.
Yes.
Like, people will select in and out of the thing that's your cool thing, you know?
Absolutely. And again, just like we all have different seasons of our life, that is what I've noticed the most in the membership. We'll have people, I have one member who literally comes once a year, but she comes once every year. And that's been going on for like the whole 18 years. And
she's
I'm like,
it's my one book club a year.
Yeah. And she used to feel guilty about it. And I was like, why? I don't have an expectation for you.
Yes.
I have no expectation. This is purely if it's something you would enjoy.
Yeah.
And that's why I find it interesting. When I extend an invite, sometimes they feel this pressure to come. And I have to just keep reiterating that for me, you're not trying to please me. This is purely if you want to talk books and you want to come hang and socialize. And so she's like, okay, but I can only commit to once a year. It's in the summer. Like, there's reasons for her why. And I'm like, I love it.
Yeah.
And then we have members who literally stop coming for whatever reason. 5-6 years later, like, can I still come? Can I come back?
Yeah.
I'm always happy for that. Yeah. There's just, there's merely a million reasons. And even if it is personal, which I've had those too, great. So I'm just kind of like, I don't want to force anyone to be here. And it might hurt sometimes to hear reasons why they might not want to come, but it doesn't affect how I run the book club, I guess.
Yeah. Because the purpose is the book club. It's not to like meet the needs of every single person.
We've talked about that.
It's tricky too, because I think that it's a different kind of relationship. Like, if you want to get together with a group of your closest friends, that's a different dynamic than running a book club. And Kelly and I have just experiences with this in running a business. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see the parallels between the two, where the consistency of schedule, having a person in charge, having a system for inviting, having a system for picking books, it's more similar to a business than a get together with friends in many ways, but it creates a more powerful purpose behind it. And it just creates a different powerful purpose, because connecting with friends is so, it fills your love well. Mm-hmm. It's just like so fulfilling. But a book club is stimulating in a different way. And that's why it requires kind of that structure, I think, sometimes. So yeah, that's hard to have people come and go, because you do love the people.
Yeah.
And so the love doesn't stop. It just, you have to just respect where they're at on their journey.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know other people who've come to my book club and they've stopped coming and started their own. I've had several members do this, and it is not a problem. I'm like, great, get more people reading. Like,
yeah, more the better.
There's no ego for me in the game when it comes to getting people to read and enjoy it and gather and talk about it. So I'm just like, trying to take your ego out if you can, and just know it's not personal, and they'll come if they can come. And
usually too, to kind of clarify on that, the reason why a couple women have left and started their own is because they wanted to invite like a dozen people to your book club, and they wanted to have more control over like the book picking or whatever it is. And it's like, I love that your fire is lit under doing books, and like, go do your thing.
Yeah.
Like, do your book club, make it yours. And I think that's kind of the point of these episodes, is I love the secret sauce you have with Delicious Reads. I love how you've created that thing that works for you and your community, and you attract people who fit within that. But like, the purpose is to inspire people to read more, because I think it makes people grow.
Yeah, makes people better.
It makes you experience a different perspective every time you pick up a book. And if that's what your book club is doing for you, then you're in alignment, like, run it your way.
Yeah.
And so.
Preach.
Amen.
My last thing, if we want to just run them, is, here are my quick bullet points why you should, if you haven't already been convinced, join or start a book club.
Okay, rapid fire.
How about we every other? Okay, being in a book club makes you more interesting, because it focuses you, or it forces you to think about new experiences, cultures, ideas, food, perspectives, eras, friendships, opposing opinions, common interests, shared laughs, tears, and traveling new worlds together through the pages of a book.
I love it.
You can't help it. You're just going to be more interesting. So there's one bullet.
To piggyback off of that, having a new book to read every month keeps your mind open to new ideas and possibilities, and it gives you something to talk about. with other people, yeah, like in the line at a grocery store, or just like literally your spouse.
I would agree. Being in a book club makes you interesting because you're in a book club. It's freaking awesome. That fact alone, I've told you, just saying that out loud that I'm in a book club or I run a book club, it immediately launches into like a full like 20-minute discussion.
Yep. Over and over again. Mm-hmm. Being in a book club enhances your debating skills.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
We just talked about that. It gives us really good practice about how to have healthy debates.
Yes.
Being in a book club makes you a better conversationalist. It gives us practice to really dive deep and think about the thoughts and how it made us feel, what bothered us in it, et cetera, and has that opportunity to really break it apart. And you don't normally do that. Usually I read it and shelve it. End of story.
Yep. There's like a reflection that comes with it. Being in a book club can extend your life. Seriously.
For real.
According to a study from the University of Queensland, belonging to a social group like a book club is associated with longer life, particularly once you reach retirement age. The researchers found social groups reduce risk of premature death and also foster a greater quality of life.
Boom.
Is Lit Joy and Delicious Read saving lives?
Oh my gosh, this is
amazing. Are we like amazing?
Well, amazing. On that note, go join a book club, start a book club, be more interesting, read more books, and just make me happy.
Yeah. It's all about us. Thank you for joining. No, we love you folks. Thank you, reader, so much for listening to the Lit Joy podcast. Please make sure to rate and review us. We'll keep doing episodes.
And like a good book, recommend us to your friends.